Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 4. Proverbs in chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 18 down to verse 23 as we continue our series in the book of Proverbs. If you will, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. What a blessing we've already received just being in this place and sensing your presence here. And thank you for the Christ-honoring music that has brought joy and into our own hearts and lives. Thank you for that. Thank you for your precious holy word that you have preserved for us, that we might know the very mind and the thoughts of the Creator God. And I pray now, Lord God, that you would help each one of us to focus on what you have through the preaching of thy word. I pray that you'd use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're in a series on the in the book of Proverbs because there is possibly a greater need for wisdom that leads to common sense today than maybe ever before in the United States of America, because godly wisdom will also lead to common sense of living. We preached on Proverbs 1:7, where the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Acknowledging God, having a reverence for God, and that is the beginning of the knowledge that man needs to have. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7, God layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Knowledge followed by wisdom. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, the main thing. It's what's most important here. The definition of wisdom is knowledge and the capacity to make use of it. Having the knowledge is not enough. We need to be able to know how to use it or apply it and live by it. If we have the knowledge of God, wisdom will lead us to acknowledge God. We looked at that last week, Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." When you know who he is, you can't help but worship him. That's one of the reasons we're assembled here today, is so that we might acknowledge God and worship him. As we acknowledge God, we acknowledge him through worship, through praise, and through thanksgiving. And then we now find ourselves here this morning in Proverbs 4. We just read verses 18 to 23. I want to draw your attention to verse 20, where the Bible says, "My son, attend to my words." Attend to my words. God, as our Heavenly Father, is telling us to live by my words, to live the word of God. Verse 22, the Bible reveals concerning living the word of God is the words of God are life unto those that find them. You have to seek them. You have to look for them. They're not automatically inside of us. You don't automatically know who God is. We have to be taught. Now, God has preserved His Word so that we can be taught, that we can know who God is. But you have to find them. They are life unto those that find them. Verse 18, it says concerning the path of those who find Him, the righteous, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Unto the day of the Lord, we are to, as we have the Word of God and we're living the Word of God, it will be a light that the world needs because the world's in darkness. If you're saved and you have a light, and the world needs your light. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Those who live without the words of God, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't have the light of God. And as they're living in darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Yeah. So live my words. Attend to my words. What does it take to live the Word of God? If we're going to live the Word of God, and I believe there's evident that we are to do that, Jesus came to present to us the life that He would have us to live, and we are to follow after that. Genuine Christianity is basically living as Christ lived, being Christ-like. As He was the light, He brought the light to the world. He was the living light, and we are to live like Him and be that light of the world, the salt of the earth, as we have been given instructions to do so. But what does it take to live the Word? First of all, in verse 20, He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Incline thine ear into my sayings. Can I tell you the first thing is we need to hear or listen to the words of God. The book of Romans in chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's where you develop faith, is by hearing the word of God. Amen. Looking into the scriptures and receiving what God has for us and hearing it taught. That's why we have a Sunday school, and we have Sunday school for every age group, because we want them to hear the Word of God at the level which they can understand. We bring in children from all around that want to be here so that they can hear the Word of God. We're not looking to babysit in our Sunday school. We're not looking to babysit in junior church ministries. We are looking to teach. We are looking to help children to hear the Word of God, because it will make an impact on their lives. Need to hear to develop their faith. If you don't have faith today, this morning, can I tell you, you're not hearing it. If we're not hearing the truth, we're more apt to believe the lies of the devil. If we're not hearing the truth of God's word, we will believe the world, and we will follow after the darkness of the world instead of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to hear. There in the book of Acts in chapter 17, I'm just going to read. You can follow right along, or you can write it down. But Paul was there preaching the word, and he says in chapter 17 and verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica," those believers in Berea. "These were no more noble than those in Thessalonica, because in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." They received the word with all readiness of mind. That means they listened to the teaching and the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and then searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. But he said that they, when he was there, they were a different type of people, because they had a desire to hear the word of God.
And they looked to Paul as a messenger, an apostle, that when he stood before them and he taught them and preached to them, they had a desire to hear, because what they heard from Paul was the truth. And by hearing that, their faith was increased. Are we listening to God? Part of living the word. But Jesus established a day, the Lord's day, first day of the week, that we assemble ourselves together. There's some things, other things we do, and we sing and we bring our offerings. But one of the most important things we do is to hear. I trust you come to church to hear from God. Whoever is preaching, whoever is teaching, your desire is God work through them to present what I need to hear. Are we listening to God? If we're going to live the word, we're going to have to make sure we're listening to God. It takes in verse 21, go back into our text here this morning, because this the book of wisdom, and it gives us so much here. Not only, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Thine eyes. What does it take? It takes reading the word. God would have us to read the Bible. Yeah. Why we all use the same Bible, so that we can all read the same words and we have confidence that the words that we read have been preserved by God. And that's why we have a text. And that's why when I preach, I want to make sure that I'm preaching the text. But before we preach the text, we want you to stand, and we want you in honoring God, and we want to read the word of God together. So now that we read the word of God, now we have to look to the preaching to possibly have the understanding. Because that's what preaching is. It's preaching what God's word says and making it understandable. Yeah. Takes reading the word. Did you catch that back in Acts in chapter 17? Go back there again with me, because both of these things we found, and these were more noble. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were the believers that had a desire to learn more and to apply the word of God and to live the word of God. And so they were in readiness of mind. They were ready to listen to the word of God. But then after they listened to the word of God and they went and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Don't just follow a man's direction. Don't just blindly receive what any man would say to you. You better make sure that what you are going to allow to direct your life and that's going to come from God is truly coming from God. The only way that you can be assured that it's coming from God is for you to have a copy of God's word and you read it and you study it and you make sure that whatever it is that you're being taught through whatever church you might be attending agrees with this Bible right here. If it doesn't agree with this Bible, and if they're not encouraging you to read this Bible, and if they do not read the text before they try to teach you something, listen to me, I would be very leery. Because we know we have the knowledge of who God is, and I want to follow God. I don't want to follow man. I want to follow God. I want to have the truths of God's word. I don't want to have the philosophies of the world. I want the words of God, because they're eternal. They change people's lives, especially when you learn to live by them. It just takes all the guesswork out of how to live my life. When it comes to every area of life, God has directions for us. And you need to find the direction that God has for you in whatever issue of life that you're facing. Amen? Because everyone has issues. Yeah. The answer to your issues for life is the Word of God. And following after the Word of God, that will help you in your issues of life. Wow. It takes hearing. It takes reading the words. Go back there with me. One very important step, if we're going to live the Word of God, verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. It takes a commitment to live the Word of God that comes from our hearts. Keep thy heart, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that's who you are, out of your heart are the issues of life. And from my heart I commit to the Word of God for all the issues of life. It's to be who we are. It's, if I'm going to live the Word, that's who I am. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us so that we would have it. That's Jesus Christ. I want to follow Him. From my heart, I so appreciate the love of God. I so appreciate the power of the cross. And when I sought after Jesus Christ and what the power of the cross can do for my life, I was saved. And with salvation was given a gift of everlasting life. I was adopted into the family of an almighty God. Yeah. What a blessing. It's who we are. The Bible becomes a guide for us in every area of life. See, someone, when it comes from your heart, it's when you get saved, it allows God's Word to direct our paths. Matter of fact, that's what the psalmist would write in Psalm 119 in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Tells me, shows me exactly where I'm at, what I need to do right here. It's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. It gives me direction in front of me. It's a lamp. Yeah, praise the Lord for a lamp. I need to know where I'm at, but then I have to have some direction. I don't, going into the darkness, I got to have that light that's lighting up my future. It's lighting up where I'm going so I can see clearly and I know how to address whatever the issues of life are. Living the word, what it takes. And then the second part is what living the Word will bring into our lives. What living the Word, how will it change my life? How will it impact my life? What will living the Word, what will it bring into our lives? Now, he tells us a few different things there as we looked into this. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It has to do with our lives. But can I tell you that Jesus wanted us to be prepared for what living the Word of God would bring into our lives? And the first thing that I want to share with you here, go with me to John chapter 15, because this is something that he taught his disciples. He's preserved it so that we might understand this as well, because we must be prepared for it. If you're going to continue to live the Word of God in the world that we live in, you're going to have to be prepared for it. If you're not prepared for it, the devil is going to blind you, and the devil is going to defeat you, and you're going to find yourself stumbling because you're not in the light of God's Word. You're living in darkness. What living the Word will bring into our lives. John chapter 15, verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because I'm not following after my words, I'm following after his words. I want to be Christ-like. I am going to live a Christian life. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't have the knowledge of who God is. And so what we must be prepared for, first of all, is you'll be hated by the world. It will be opposed. When I start living by and holding to the words of God as a basis for how I'm going to live my life, it's going to be opposed by the lost. We're seeing that more today than ever before in the United States of America. Never has Christianity been opposed any more than what it is today. In the world, yes. In America, no. The world is not going to support your Christianity when you claim Christianity according to the scriptures. Yeah. Whether it be morality, they don't want to hear the truth. Standards, convictions, they don't want to hear the truth. And when you stand by the truth, you're going to be hated by the world. You're going to be opposed by the world. You've got to be prepared for it. I don't live by the word of God because of the world, and I'm not going to stop living by the word of God because of the world. I live by the word of God because that's God's will for my life. And I want to continue to live by the word of God because that is the faith that not only is good enough for me to live by, but it is what I'm going to die by. I just need to make sure that I am pleasing my God. For if God be for you, who can be against you? Truth of it is, if God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you, because you and God are a majority, even though we'll never have a majority in the world. That's the second thing we look to. Not only will you be opposed by the world, you'll be in the minority. We've always been in the minority worldwide. We've not always been in the minority in a Christian nation called the United States of America. But today, true Christianity is in the minority even in the United States of America. But we were taught that. Jesus wanted us to know what we're going to have to face. In Matthew chapter 7, let me just read this to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says this. In verse 13, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be with go in thereat, many going in a way of destruction, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When it comes to the entire world, it's going to be a few. Never has been, never will be the majority of humanity following the ways of Christ. You're going to be in the minority. Don't expect the support of the world to keep you living a Christian life. If you're looking for the world's to pat you on the back and say, hey, you're doing a great job living for Jesus and taking the stands that you're taking and living the moral life that God wants you to live and living by standards and convictions and following the word of God, if you're looking for the support of the world, the pat on the back, you're not going to get it. Because Christianity is going to be in the minority. The only majority will be in the church. Amen. I trust that everyone here is in support of preaching and teaching the word of God. And if you're not, you're in the minority. If you're not for that, at an independent fundamental Baptist preaching, Baptist church, Bible preaching Baptist church, then we are the majority in this church. Praise God for that. It feels good to be in the majority. But as soon as I walk out the doors, I'm in the minority. We can use common sense. Amen? And we don't have to worry about being politically correct. We don't have to worry about saying something that's going to cause us to be tortured, imprisoned. Yeah. At least not in here. Can I tell you, that's why the church is a place of refuge. We can look back. Every person sitting in this place today is an encouragement to every other believer that wants to serve God. Praise the Lord for it. We need the church. We need to come and charge up the battery so that when we leave, the light is bright. It might start getting a little dark when you come in. If you've been fighting the world, fighting all the things going on in the world, listening to the wrong news, if any of them is good, but listening to the news, I'll tell you what, that is discouraging. You got to get away from that. All the new variants coming and how many times you're going to have to get a shot every other week to be able to get protected and living in fear. And listen to me. I'm going to have the wisdom, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let God direct me. Based on science, true proven science goes hand in hand with the Bible, amen? Based on the word of God. The issues of life, whatever they are, it's the word of God that's going to help me face the issues of life. But I have to be prepared knowing that I'm going to be hated by the world, going to be opposed by the lost, going to be in the minority. And there's something else that you have to be aware of is we're going to have convictions. If you're truly saved, you're going to have convictions. And with those convictions, you're not going to be able to enjoy the pleasures of sin like the lost will. Because in Christ, you're different. You're a new creature. Jesus would teach that in the book of John in chapter 14. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. Come on, it's good stuff. It really is. It's the word of God. It's wisdom from the Bible that leads to common sense. If we look here in John in chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you're saved, you have an indwelling Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do to you, he is going to keep bringing up to you what's right. He's going to bring up to you the teachings of Christ. And when you are going in a different direction than the direction that God wants you to go, he is going to convict your heart. He's going to convict your soul. He's going to make you miserable until you turn and start going back in the direction that God wants you to go. And the direction that God wants you to go is following the example of Christ. Evidence of salvation is conviction. Over sin. If you can sin, go up in opposition to the Bible and not have conviction, you're not saved. That's not me saying that. That is the scriptures that teach that. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Let me just read to you verse 12. In 2 Thessalonians, talking about the end time, the rapture of the church is going to take place. It says those that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Can I tell you can have temporal pleasures, and even in this world, continual pleasures in unrighteousness if you're not saved, because you didn't believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, you don't have salvation, you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But if you believe the Bible and you receive Jesus as your Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He will not allow you to live in sin indefinitely, and He will take away the pleasures of sin. Yeah, because you'll have convictions. We need to be prepared for that. Amen. We need to be prepared for that. I'm going to live the Word. I've got to have the things that the Bible says I need to have, and I need to be aware of what living the Word will bring into my life. Some very positive things, and we'll close with this, that it will bring into your life. When you live by the Word of God, as we've said earlier, it's right there in the scriptures. These are the things that we need to hold on to. For they, verse 22, they are the words of God, our life. Their life, like you've never experienced before. You can't have it without the scriptures. You can't have it without Jesus Christ, because He brings to us life more abundantly, abundant life. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. They'll bring a peace that's going to help you with your worries and all your nervous system that's falling apart because you can't not get a hold of not worrying. Yeah. Because you're afraid this person's going to die and that person's going to die, and people die. But you don't have to be afraid of that. You just got to trust in the Lord. Stop worrying about all those things that 99% of them will never come to fruition. That won't happen. But the devil gets victory in your life because you're worried about them going to happen. No. Wow, we need to just trust in God. How we need to understand is the words and having this word in me to help me to deal with all the issues of life will be health to all their flesh. Yeah. What it brings. Brings truth. Truth is light. Truth is God is in control. Truth is God will not put more on you than what you're able to bear. You'll put more on yourself, but God will never put more on you. Truth is all things work together for good to those who love God, who called according to His purpose. That's truth. You got to have that truth. If you don't have that truth, then you're going to be in darkness and you're going to stumble and not even know why you're stumbling. That's what the book of Proverbs said. In John chapter 8, let me just read it to you again. Write it down. You want these verses. But John chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 32 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's going to give you something that you don't even realize how bad you need. Free from all the devil's tools, devices to destroy. It's going to set you free from the devil. Yeah. What it brings, not only truth based upon God's word, but it brings to us knowledge of all things. Everything that we need to have knowledge of, God has revealed it to us in the word. Matter of fact, over in the book of Revelation in chapter 1, I love it right here, Revelation in chapter 1, verse 19, he tells John, he says, on the Isle of Patmos, write, because I want to preserve it so that everyone can be blessed by it. Write so that they can hear it and they can read it. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Can I tell you, when you have the words of God, you have the knowledge of past, present, and future. That's good. That's the kind of knowledge we need. We have the knowledge of past, Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel that parted the Red Seas, that parted the Jordan River, that gave them the victories in Jericho, all through the promise, all the different things. We have that past. We have the presence of understanding that we're living in the church age and how that Jesus Christ established his church for this church age. And the church is going to maintain. The church is going to stay strong. Amen? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it until Jesus says, I'm going to call you home. But one day he's calling us home. And then we have the knowledge of the hereafter. And it's a good knowledge to have. New heaven, new earth, glorified bodies. Amen. Be able to reunite with all of our blood brothers and sisters that went on to glory before. Listen to me. That's a good knowledge to have. You don't have to fear death. You might fear what you're going to lose out on this earth. But you can replace that fear with the faith of knowing I'm going to see them again. What a blessed way to live life. Yeah. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Maybe one of the greatest blessings of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate. Follow the scriptures, live by the word of God. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, the sins, whatever the Bible reveals as being sin. And when you do this, I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What will living the word bring? It'll bring to you the knowledge of being God's child. The knowledge of being a child of God. And as a child, I see God different than the world. I see God as a heavenly Father. He wants me to view him as our Father, which are in heaven. I tell people all the time, you know, I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. But something that keeps me strong and going forward, I'm always going to be God's little boy. 65 years old, all the different things going on, but I'm still just a little boy in the hands of an almighty God, because he is my heavenly Father. Will you commit to living the word? Yeah, it's wisdom. It's not only the knowledge of it, it's the wisdom of it. Commit to just living the word. It'll make a difference in your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Live the word. You know what the problem is? I guarantee you that you're facing today, you're not living the word maybe as you ought to.
I have a problem, it's not because I'm living the Word, it's because I'm not applying the Word like I need to apply the Word. This morning, you got to know that you're saved. You've looked to the cross and the power of the cross, and you've received Christ as your Savior. What gives you an opportunity at that point, because you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to live by the Word of God. If you're not saved, today is the day. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your Word. And I pray, God, that we would have not only the knowledge but the wisdom to apply the Word of God in every area of our life. Bless in this invitation. I pray for anyone that's here that does not know, is not 100% sure that if their eyes were to close in death today, that heaven would be their eternal home. I pray, God, that they would be saved today. Work in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.